the Shepherd is part of a Christmas nativity set that was hand-carved many years ago by a famous woodcarver. The village children used to call him Mr. Gloomy, but his real name was Mr. Toomey. And although it's never wise and not kind to call somebody a name, this name quite fit, because Jonathan Toomey was always gloomy. I mean, this guy mumbled, grumbled, and moaned, and groaned, and griped. I mean, he complained about everything. He complained that the church bells rang too much. He complained that the birds sang too loud in the morning. He complained that children played too much. I mean, this guy was an unhappy fellow. But he was a good woodcarver. As a matter of fact, some people said that they thought he was the best woodcarver in the entire state. I mean, every day he would get up, he would go to his workbench, he would carve all day. He would carve beautiful figures out of blocks of pine and hickory and chestnut. But that's all he ever did. He mostly kept to himself, and he didn't have any friends at all. And Mr. Toomey really wasn't old, but if you saw him walking, the way he walked, he was always kind of bent over, and his head was down, and you know, he never smiled. The village people, they did not know that there was a reason why Mr. Toomey was so gloomy. They did not realize that there was a reason that when he walked, it looked like he was carrying a burden on his shoulders. They were not aware of the fact that 5 years earlier, Mr. Toomey was full of life and love for everybody, especially his wife and his newborn son. But then they got sick, and there were no hospitals in his village, and very little medicine, and no skilled doctors. And so his wife and his son died. And Mr. Toomey was so sad that he packed all of his belongings into the back of a wagon and he moved as far away as he could. He was hoping that he would leave his sorrows behind, but they seemed to follow him. Then one day, early in December, Mr. Toomey was carving at his workbench like always. He heard a knock at the door. Grumbling and mumbling, he went to answer it, and when he opened the door, there was a lady standing there and a young boy. She introduced herself. "Hello," she said, "I'm the Widow McDowell. I'm new to this village, and this is my son Thomas."
"I'm 7, said Thomas, "and I can whistle."
"Whistling's pish-posh," said the woodcarver. "Well," said Mrs. McDowell, "I'm here to ask you, could you carve a Christmas nativity set for us? My grandfather carved one for me when I was a very young girl. And when we moved to this village, I discovered that the nativity was missing, and I had hoped through some miracle that it would show up, but it hasn't." "I don't believe in miracles anyway," said the woodcarver. "Describe these figures to me, would you?" She said, "Well, there's a sheep and a cow and a shepherd, and then there's 3 wise men, and then there's Joseph and Mary and the baby. Do you think you could do this?" "Oh," he said, "I'll take the job." "Oh," she said, "that's wonderful. Is there any way you think you could have these done by Christmas? It would mean so much to me. I cannot remember a Christmas without them." Now,
They'll be ready when they're ready. Christmas is pish posh anyway. And then he closed the door. A few days later, there was a knock at Mr. Toomey's door. Got up from the workbench, mumbling and grumbling. When he opened the door, there was the widow McDowell. "Excuse me," she said. "Thomas has been begging me to bring him back here because he wants to be a woodcarver when he grows older. And he wants to watch you carve because you are the best woodcarver in the entire state." "Oh, I'll be really quiet," said Thomas. "You won't even know I'm here. Please, please, can I stay?" The woodcarver grumbled something under his breath and stepped aside, and he let him in. Then he pointed to a stool next to the workbench. He said, "You sit there, Thomas, and I want no talking, no jiggling, no noise." Thomas started climbing up on the stool. The widow McDowell handed Mr. Toomey a fresh-baked loaf of cornbread as a token of thanks. Thomas tried to be very quiet as he sat on the stool. The widow McDowell, she took out her knitting needles and went, sat on a chair in front of the fireplace and began to knit. But then Thomas almost sneezed and he put his finger under his nose and stopped it. And then as soon as he did that, he started getting an itch on his leg and he wanted to scratch it, but he didn't want to move. We just counted to like 100 until it finally went away. But later that afternoon, Thomas cleared his throat. He said, "Excuse me, Mr. Toomey, is that my sheep you're carving there?" The woodcarver looked over at Thomas and growled. Thomas thought, well, that must mean yes, so he just continued. "Well," he said, "excuse me, Mr. Toomey, but you're not carving it right." There was no laughter in the room. It got real quiet. The widow McDowell stopped knitting. Mr. Toomey stopped carving. And Thomas said, well, it's really a nice sheep. It's the nicest sheep I've ever seen, Mr. Toomey, but my sheep was really happy." "Well, that's pish-posh," said the woodcarver. "Sheep are sheep. They're not happy." Oh, said Thomas, "my sheep was so happy, it knew that Jesus was going to be born that night." After that, Thomas didn't say another word. 6 o'clock came, the church bells began to ring. Mrs. McDowell got up and said, "It's time for them to leave." And Thomas got down off the stool, then he sneezed twice and started scratching his leg. And they thanked Mr. Toomey and they left. Later that evening, after a dinner of boiled potatoes and some cornbread, Mr. Toomey got up and walked over to the workbench and picked up that sheep, and he began carving on it. Carved late into the night. A few days later, knock on Mr. Toomey's door. He got up from the workbench and, you know, for some reason, he just didn't feel like complaining. And when he opened the door, there was the widow McDowell and Thomas. And Thomas said, "Please, can I stay and watch? I promise I'll be quiet." And so as Thomas was climbing up on the stool, the widow McDowell placed a plate of warm raisin buns on the table. The woodcarver said, "Well, the teapot's hot." And so the widow McDowell made some tea, and then she tapped the woodcarver on the shoulder as she placed the cup of tea and a raisin bun on the plate right next to him. He, of course, pretended he didn't see it. But, you know, a few minutes later, cup was empty. Plate, the bun was gone. But Thomas, man, he was sitting there as quiet as he could. Then he almost started to hiccup. So he held his breath until his face turned red. And then he wasn't even thinking. He was thinking about holding his breath, and he was kind of swinging his legs. And the woodcarver looked over at him, and he froze. Thomas froze and just kept his legs so still they fell asleep. He would not move. Then a little while later, Thomas cleared his throat and said, "Excuse me, Mr. Toomey, are you carving my cow? Because something doesn't look right." My cow was a very proud cow. Mr. Toomey said, that's pish-posh. Cows are cows. They're not proud. Oh, Thomas said, look, my cow was so proud, he knew that Jesus was going to be born in his stable that very night. Thomas didn't say another word the rest of the afternoon. At 6, the church bells rang. Mr. Toomey complained, they ring too much. Widow McDowell and Thomas got ready to leave, but he had to shake his legs because he had fallen asleep. They thanked Mr. Toomey and they left. Later that night after supper, Mr. Toomey went back to the workbench, picked up the cow. He started to carve on it again, carved late into the night. Then a few days later, knock on Mr. Toomey's door. And this time, instead of complaining, he brushed off all the sawdust, went over to the door and opened it up, and there was the widow McDowell and Thomas. And Thomas asked if he could come and watch him again. And he got up on the stool, and while he was getting up on the stool, the widow McDowell placed a plate of molasses cookies on the table, and she made some tea. Thomas was trying to be as quiet as he could, but he was watching the woodcarver, and he said, excuse me, Mr. Toomey, is that my shepherd you're carving? Yes, it is, he said, and I suppose you're going to tell me what I'm doing wrong now. Thomas said, well, Mr. Toomey, it's really a nice shepherd, but my shepherd was a very important shepherd. He knew that he had been chosen to be the first person to tell everybody that Jesus was born. He was very important. Yes, and how am I supposed to make a shepherd look important, said Mr. Toomey. I don't know, said Thomas. You're a good carver. You can figure it out. And then just a few minutes later, Thomas spoke up again. Excuse me, Mr. Toomey, can I ask you a question? Don't you ever stop talking, said Mr. Toomey. Well, my mother says I don't. She said I should learn the virtue of silence from a fine man like you. As soon as he said that, the widow McDowell's face got really red. And so did Mr. Toomey. Well, speak up, he said. What's your question? Oh, he said, Mr. Toomey, could you teach me how to carve? I'm a busy man, said Mr. Toomey. And then he looked at Thomas and he said, all right, I'll teach you how to carve a bird. Oh, that's great, said Thomas. I hope it's a robin. I love robins. Well, so then Mr. Toomey took out a piece of paper, brown paper, and he's sketching the robin. He picked up a carving knife. He began to show, at a block of wood, he began to show Thomas how to round off the corners of the wood, how to make a smooth curve. Thomas was concentrating. He watched everything Mr. Toomey was doing. When the church bell rang at 6, Mr. Toomey had his hands helping Thomas how to carve the wings of a bird. He didn't even hear the church bells ringing. Widow McDowell got up and said it was time to leave, so Thomas climbed down off the stool and brushed off all the sawdust, and they looked at Mr. Toomey and he said, Mr. Toomey, thank you for teaching me how to carve. And then the two of them left, and Mr. Toomey ate dinner, and then he went over and picked up that shepherd and started carving on it again. Carved late into the night. A few days later, a knock at Mr. Toomey's door. He jumps up from the workbench, brushes off all the sawdust, and just before he opens the door, he fixed his hair. Opened the door. Hello, Mrs. McDowell. She was holding a bouquet of pine branches and some holly sprigs with red berries. And Thomas was standing there with his robin partially carved. And so they came in, and Mr. Toomey and Thomas were working on the robin, and the widow McDowell, she put the bouquet in a glass vase, and she filled it with water, and she put it in the middle of a table, but she put it on a really nice white linen tablecloth that she had gotten out of one of the drawers in the cupboard. As it came toward the evening, Mr. Toomey turned toward Thomas. He said, Thomas, I'm getting ready to carve the three wise men and Joseph. He said, perhaps you could tell me before I start carving what mistakes I'll probably be making. Thomas said, oh, Mr. Toomey, the wise men were wearing wonderful robes. They were going to see the king. And Joseph, he was so serious, he was bent over like he was looking at the child because he was going to protect him. Well, it wasn't until 6 o'clock when the church bells rang that Mr. Toomey noticed the bouquet on the table with the white linen tablecloth. Where did you get that tablecloth? He said, very gruffly. The widow McDowell, she said, well, I got it out of the drawer over by the cupboard. Well, don't ever take anything out of that drawer again. And after the two of them left, Mr. Toomey went over and took the tablecloth, folded it up, put it back in the drawer. But after supper that night, he went back to the workbench and he started carving the three wise men and Joseph. A few days later, knock on Mr. Toomey's door. He jumped up from the workbench, brushed off all the sawdust, straightened his hair, even straightened his shirt, and they kind of hurried over to the door. And when he opened it, there was the widow McDowell and Thomas, and they came in, and the widow went and sat in a chair in front of the fireplace and continued her knitting, and Thomas climbed up on the stool and watched Mr. Toomey carve all day. And when it came to the end of the day, Mr. Toomey turned to Thomas. He said, Thomas, I'm getting ready to carve the last two pieces of this set, Mary and Jesus. So perhaps you could tell me, what should they look like? Thomas said, oh, Mr. Toomey, the baby was smiling and looking up at the mother, and he was reaching up trying to touch her. And Mary, she was holding the baby in her arms, and she was smiling and looking at him with so much love. Mr. Toomey said, thank you, Thomas. And then the widow McDowell said, excuse me, Mr. Toomey, tomorrow is Christmas. Is there any way you think the nativity set could be done by tomorrow? They'll be done when they're done, said Mr. Toomey. Oh, she said, I understand. And then she handed him two presents. He backed up, folded his arms. I don't need any presents. And she said, that's exactly why we're giving them to you, Mr. Toomey. And then she put them on the table as they walked out the door. Well, as soon as they left, Mr. Toomey went over and he opened the big package first. And inside the package was a red scarf, the one that the widow McDowell had been knitting while she was sitting in front of the fireplace. And then there was a little package. Mr. Toomey opened it up. Inside was Thomas's bird, the robin. And a smile came across Mr. Toomey's face, but almost hurt. He hadn't smiled in so long, but he got up and put the bird right on the mantle so he could see it when he was carving. But there was no supper for Mr. Toomey that night. He decided he was going to carve Mary and Jesus. So he took out a piece of paper and he began to sketch Mary. And the first sketch just didn't look right, so he crumpled the paper and he threw it on the ground. And then he drew a second sketch and that didn't look right either. And he crumpled the paper and threw it on the ground. And then he thought, I'll draw a sketch of Jesus, the baby Jesus, and he draws it. He didn't like that, crumples it up, throws it on the ground. Pretty soon he's got crumpled paper everywhere. So frustrated, he gets up, he walks over to the workbench, and he picks up a block of wood and starts to carve on it. But something was wrong. His hands were stiff, and kept trying to carve, and he's making mistakes, and he's so frustrated, he just throws the block of wood in the fireplace. Then he hears the church bells chiming. It's midnight. And he walks over to the cupboard. And he opens the drawer, the one that he told the widow McDowell, you don't ever open that drawer. And he took out the white linen, and he put it on a table, and he took out a picture frame, one that he had carved, And inside the frame was the picture of a lady holding a little baby boy. And she was smiling, and the baby was reaching up to her. Mr. Toomey went and sat down and took the picture frame and just put it up against his chest and just began to cry. Then he started to sob. And after a while, he got up and he walked over to the workbench and he picked up a block of wood and he just started carving, but this time something was different. His hands were nimble and fast, and the carving, he was just so skillful. It surprised him, but he just kept carving, and he carved all night. Early the next morning, he had finished the last two pieces of the nativity set. They were the most beautiful pieces he had ever carved in his entire life. Soon, there was a knock at the Widow McDowell's door. And when she opened the door, she was so surprised. "Mr. Toomey," she said, "what a surprise. Merry Christmas. Come in, come in." And he's carrying a big box, and he puts it on the table. And he says, "The nativity set is finished." And he begins to take out one piece at a time. He takes out the sheep, happiest sheep you ever saw. Then he takes out a cow, I mean a very proud cow. And then he takes out a very important shepherd, three wise men who had the most magnificent robes, Joseph, very, very serious. And then he takes out Mary and the baby Jesus. And the Widow McDowell says, "They are the most beautiful figures I've ever seen in my entire life." That day, Jonathan Toomey went to the Christmas service with the Widow McDowell and Thomas. And all the people in the village, they were so surprised to see him there. But what really surprised them was just the way he was walking. He was standing taller. He wasn't hunched over. He actually had a smile on his face. And some of the people said they saw him laughing as they were walking. Mr. Toomey was never Mr. Gloomy ever again. But you know, there are a lot of people out there that are like Mr. Gloomy. Maybe you know some of them. Maybe you have a friend or a relative, a co-worker, a neighbor. Or maybe you're feeling like Mr. Gloomy or Mrs. Gloomy tonight. You know, when bad things happen, it's so easy to become a grumbler and a mumbler, a complainer. But this story shows the power, I mean the power of a little bit of kindness, just a little bit, a little love given in unconditional ways. It's stronger than depression. It's stronger than darkness. A little love given in an unconditional way can be like a bright light in a dark room. And I believe this is part of what the Christmas story is about, because the fact is we all have a little gloom in our hearts. You know, we've all been mumblers and grumblers. But God showed his love toward us by sending his son Jesus to drive out the darkness in our souls. He showed unconditional love to heal us from the depression and the hurts and the anger that we feel. So here's the thing. If you're here tonight and you're carrying some burden, you're facing some challenge, or maybe you know someone carrying a burden, facing some challenge, just remember the power of a little bit of love, the power of kindness given in an unconditional way. And then remember the ultimate kindness and the love of God. When God sent Jesus into this world to heal mankind and to proclaim peace to all men. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that Christmas is the ultimate story of unconditional love. We thank you that you sent Jesus that he might bring peace to all mankind. God, God, I pray for each person here tonight. God, if anybody is carrying some weight, God, that tonight they might look to you and open their hearts to receive the ultimate healing, the unconditional love, God. And Father, if we know someone who may be struggling, God, that we might be the light to them. That we could show them why Christmas came. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
So in a couple of minutes, we're going to do our candlelight song, but I just wanted to share something with you. If you did not get one of the candles on your way in here, can you raise your hand and the ushers will get a candle to you? Just raise your hand and they'll bring one around. But Christmas brings excitement, doesn't it? I mean, it does for me, and I'm not a kid anymore. But something that I think we, especially as adults, but even as children, we could teach our children this from a young age up, is never to forget what the true meaning is about. It's the birth of Christ. Jesus stepped out of heaven to spend time with mankind so that he could show mankind what God was like. And so I'm just going to kind of piggyback on the story from Luke that we read earlier. But this, to me, is something I've been meditating all week. And this brings a huge sense of excitement to me. Because it's when the angel came down from heaven. And who did he tell first that was going to, the Messiah was going to be born? Shepherds. He chose shepherds. And it says that the angel appeared to them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Shepherds at that time weren't afraid of anything. They stayed all night to guard their flock of sheep. They weren't afraid of wild animals. As a matter of fact, King David, who was a mighty king in the Old Testament as a young boy, says that he killed a bear, and he killed a lion with his bare hands. And then he went on to slay a giant named Goliath. Shepherds weren't afraid of anything, but they were afraid of this angel because of the glory. And I don't know how big this angel was. When I read things like this, I like to kind of let my imagination, I mean, was he 9 foot tall? Was he 6'8"? Was he 5 foot? But he was so bright and so glorious that he scared them. And he says to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." Then he goes on to tell them about a Savior who will be born. And then it says, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." These angels, I think, had an idea of what was about to happen, and they were excited. A multitude of them shown up and sang this to these shepherds. And if you read on, it says, the shepherd said, "Let's go to Bethlehem." They told him he was in Bethlehem. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Some versions said they went running. These shepherds knew that they were going to go see a Savior, their Savior, the Messiah, the Christ child. And they ran to Bethlehem. Do you remember when you were young and you would run and you knew where your destination was, but your goal was to be the first one there? Your goal was to outrun the next person, and you'd run and some people would get in front and you'd jockey each other? I imagine these shepherds running like that. Running that fast to go see the Christ child. So I just say that to you to just, you know, pick a story some year. Maybe use this story this year and meditate on the glory of God. You know, he didn't choose a king. He didn't choose the religious leaders. He didn't choose the prominent people to say what he was about to do. He chose shepherds. In my mind, he chose ordinary, average people, just like me, just like you. And so, many times in the Bible, you can hear that Jesus is the light of the world. And in John chapter 8, verse 12, he says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. That to me gives me as much hope as probably that first shepherd that made it to Bethlehem. If you follow Jesus, you have the light of life. There will be no dark corner in your world. He will protect you. He will take care of you. He will guide you. And he will serve you so that you can learn what it is like to have a Savior. So I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward. We're going to light our candles. It's going to start with mine, and it's going to go through the church. We're going to sing Silent Night. But as you're lighting your candle, just pause and take a second. Just give some thanks to Jesus. Will you?
Stop.